This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, Tay, there are some businesses decided to take Monday off, huh? The day after. It is, as they say, in the books, and it was one for the ages. Here's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman recapping the Super Bowl.
I would love to be able to recap the Super Bowl for you, but Aikman is the one that gets all the money, so I'm going to have you do it. I've covered a lot of games now in my career. I didn't see this coming, and it was a complete reversal of fortune. And I'll say this. In a league that's right now designed to prevent dynasties with free agency, scheduling, the draft, the New England Patriots are a dynasty, and they just keep adding to it.
As long as they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they're going to continue to be a dynasty and continue to win a lot of games and continue to win Super Bowls. No end appears to be in sight. It really is remarkable. I mean, I'm still in disbelief over what we watched. I mean, to be down that many points, and it looked like the game essentially was over, and yet Tom Brady and the Patriots are able to climb back in it and win this game, and I'm speechless, really. I mean, it's pretty amazing, and what a great win for a great organization and for a great quarterback who, if there was ever any questions coming into this game, certainly all of that is removed. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, okay, so this was a 25-point game at one point. This becomes the biggest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl by a mile at the end of the first overtime game in the history of the Super Bowl. And they did it a lot of different ways. I tell you, a guy, James White. Not a lot of people were thinking about James White coming into this game. But, man, what an effort here tonight. And the rookie Malcolm Mitchell on the outside I thought was big in the second half, too.
Yeah, no, both of those guys. And that kind of happens. Remember 2 years ago it was Malcolm Butler who was able to step up and make a name for himself. And then James White and, like you said, Malcolm Mitchell, you know, in this game today. And the guys who you least expect sometimes are the ones who emerge. But just a great team win. And I know it's I know there's going to be a lot of celebrating going on for this Patriot team.
Yeah, and a lot of heartache in Atlanta. What a game, what a season by the Atlanta Falcons. But in the end, it's Tom Brady, it's Bill Belichick, it's the New England Patriots doing it again, winning it by 6 points in overtime in a game that none of us will ever forget.
Well, I'll tell you, it was most incredible. Scott, I like what Todd Starnes had to say. He says, we were treated to a presidential coin flip, and that was terrific. The warm welcome to the Bushes was really sweet, and thank goodness for that. Also, if you notice, all the players stood for the national anthem, and he says Lady Gaga kept her clothes on, and she did a great job. I mean, you know, stayed out of the political fray, and also he mentioned that, as you recall, you know, she didn't come, you know, have any dress malfunction or anything that, you know, a clothes that resembled a brisket. Oh, I'm telling you, but what a treat, what a game, and this has kind of been, you know, life here in the United States, hasn't it been? The unexpected popping up, and wouldn't you know that somehow Donald Trump is, you know, of course, been, you know, as he says, he's good friends with Tom Brady, and, you know, Brady was given a bad time because he supported Donald Trump and Bob Kraft as well, and Kraft was asked particularly what it would be like after all was said and done. You know, it was started out rather contentious season with Brady sitting out for, you know, four games, and you know, the team had rallied around him because of Deflategate, as you recall, and he asked, he says, what's it going to be like, you know, you getting the trophy from Roger Goodell? He says, it's going to be cool. And it was cool. But boy, I'll tell you, with the audience, they thought it was pretty cool, didn't they? I mean, they let their emotions be known that they weren't too respectful of the commissioner. What'd you think about that?
I haven't heard boos that loud over TV in a very long time.
Yeah, no doubt they felt it was their turn to chime in, and their privilege. And, of course, you know, I always tell my son this, and I, you know, the best form of revenge is success. And so for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, you could say, how sweet it is. They were able to get revenge and put an exclamation point on all this controversy that started out the first part of the season. Congratulations to the New England Patriots. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, that's our focus, and if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me and you. Bottom-up movement, not top-down, ladies and gentlemen. Top-down is what got us into this mess. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Horace Cooper, national recognized legal commentator and adjunct fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board, is with us this morning. Horace, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
Well, good to have you here. Last night, a nice break, and from all the political talk, except for the advertisers, some of them couldn't help themselves. But a nice evening to get away, and of course, I don't know. I was telling Scott this must be the year of the Trump, the year of surprises. I mean. What can you say? One for the books. Congratulations to the New England Patriots, huh?
It was an amazing game. Mm-hmm. However, I guess politics didn't wait too long because shortly after the game wrapped up, I got an email saying the person said they hadn't seen a lead blown so badly since the 2016 campaign.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. There was going to be reference without a doubt there. I think it's easy, for people, you and I are, athletes and we love games and sports and that sort of thing. I don't know so much that Atlanta blew it as much as just, the Patriots made it work. I mean, they did it.
It was really, this is probably the biggest game on the planet. Mm-hmm. A lot of people watch. Maybe they're not even watching most games. But I have to say, for a Super Bowl game, it was really an interesting game to watch. It was an entertaining game to watch. Mm-hmm. It was a case where, okay, let's get this commercial over with so we can get back and find out what's
right.
going on.
Now, and an hour halftime segment in between. I mean, this thing went on forever. I mean, when you have more than five rounds of chips and dips, the half is too long. Just saying. But
so I got another email this morning saying that Atlanta had won the popular vote, so they should be happy about that.
That's funny. That is funny. Well, let's talk immigration. This ban on refugees that's come up. Jonathan Turley, Alan Dershowitz, two respected legal commentators as yourself, said that the president has solid standing on this. That that he should be able to be the last one standing over this refugee ban.
And I think they're right on the money. I would argue that we are not going to see some major new precedent set as a result of this executive order. And by that I mean ultimately the courts are going to uphold the authority and not act as if there's some ability on their part to independently assess the policy propriety of a particular order. What we've got here, as I would look at this and see, that essentially you've got three rogue judges, one a district court judge and the other a two circuit court judges that could have immediately overturned the TRO.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, people aren't paying attention. The underlying case isn't what's being appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. A decision was made by the federal judge from Washington State. It is being bandied about that he is a George W. Bush appointee,
right,
which is supposed to add heft to the idea of what his arguments are or the claims that he put forward in his decision. But actually, he is a fairly progressive activist who was recommended to the Bush administration by Senator Patty Murray, who actually introduced him in the Judiciary Committee when he was nominated. And it was precisely because of his left-wing activism that he was presented as part of a package to get a breakthrough with some of the jamming up of appointees by the Bush administration. So you take our bad apple, and we'll let you have some of your good apples.
Exactly.
So that's what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two appointees are on the Ninth Circuit. One's a Carter appointee, and one's an Obama appointee. The Ninth Circuit generally is the most liberal circuit court of the system in the United States. And so what they should have done, and if this had been the Fifth Circuit, the Tenth Circuit, or almost any other one of the circuits, they would have immediately set aside the TRO.
Mm-hmm.
What the judge did was say, I believe on the merits that the claimants before me, that's Washington State and a number of individuals, are going to prevail. And since they are going to prevail, ultimately, don't know for sure, I want to not have them suffer irreparable harm, so we're going to issue this order. That was a major mistake on the part of the federal judge.
Mm. It was definitely a clear overstep. You know, the thing that kept coming up in conversations over the weekend outside of the Super Bowl here, Horace, was people are saying, wait a minute, how can the president be blocked from doing the number one job that he has as the chief executive officer of this country in protecting its people? How can the court stop that?
And that's the reason why Judge Robart, the district court judge, should never have issued this order. Even if he was persuaded that there was a lot of strength to the claims being put forward before him, what he should have understood is that the overwhelming equity, the strength of power, rested with the claim that the president got to decide where the danger existed and therefore what actions to take.
Mm.
Even if the judge believed that the president would ultimately fail, what the judge should have done is say, okay, this executive order continues, but we're going to trial.
Mm.
And now we'd have an appeal over whether or not to go to trial over the issue. But by staying it, by saying, nope, you can't move forward on this case, the judge essentially is saying that the evidence is overwhelming, the strength of argument, the powerful motivation and persuasion rests with those complaining against the argument and against the executive order,
mm.
and that goes against tremendous amount of precedent. It will be, in fact, a new precedent if this order is allowed to be stayed as a result of the claims being put forward that a state has, a state like Texas, like Washington State, has consequences if they don't get into their universities and medical schools the types of people that they would like to get. That is a very novel, unique argument, and I just don't see how that has much merit whatsoever in the end.
Well, Horace, we've got to go to break here, but, you know, what you say in terms of it being so historic on the one end, it would seem that it could be historic on the other end, and we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Horace Cooper is with us. We're talking this temporary ban on refugees. This is Bill Martinez, live.
Lifetime Grays 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Hi, my name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years of age. I watched several YouTube videos of Stephen Hewer's and learned what supplements might help me with energy and weight loss. I've now been on the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, Synergy One, and six other products from Synergistic Nutrition for several weeks now. I've lost 10 pounds. My joint pain has been reduced significantly. I have a lot of energy that I've never had before. My cravings for sweets are gone, and I'm rarely hungry. Even my cravings for foods like hamburgers and heavy carbohydrate meals are now gone. This is the only thing that's worked for me. I was seriously considering bariatric surgery, but that's out the window now. Thank you so much, Synergistic Nutrition.
With Synergistic Nutrition, we help you take the guesswork out of supplementation and help you hit the bullseye of success. I encourage you to get specific about your health needs, because when you do, your body will celebrate with energy and well-being. Call Synergistic Nutrition today at 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks, all on America's largest 4G LTE networks? Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled P-I-X, PixWireless.com.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Scent, The Journey of a Conspiracy Analyst, author C.L. Hendman ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into this stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreonthescent.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. Bookstoreonthescent.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Have you ever wanted
a shortcut
to getting the underground
secrets
to making money online and seriously
grow your business?
Whether it's a new business,
a part-time income,
or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of this Amazon best-selling book on .com success
for free.
Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite.
Go to secretsignite.com.
That's secretsignite.com.
Get your free copy now.
Go to secretsignite.com.
When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. You see nothing but damage done. I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. No, when you see wounded.
Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Looks like there might be some circuit judges that might discover that fact as well. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, welcome back. Vice President Pence over the weekend insisted that the refugee ban was not a hastily done order, executive order from the president. He says it is solid constitutionally and legally. It is about safety and security of American citizens, and we're talking seven countries. And this is what kind of, you know, you get into some of this twisted logic here, Horace Cooper, is that, you know, they're trying to say it's some sort of religious thing. If that was the case, then you would say it was only Muslims that weren't allowed. It's all these countries, and I think it's reasonable to understand why these countries, you know, the Obama administration had cited these countries as being in jeopardy because their paperwork, you talk about paperwork, I mean, you're talking failed or about to be failed entities here, countries that have lost all connection with who their people are, what they're all about. You don't have a source. There's no way to communicate with these people. Say, hey, we got Muhammad over here. He says this is his name and this is what it's all about. Can you verify that? There's nobody you can go to and get that verification, is there?
Well, and that's part of the problem. This vetting issue is, in many instances, we're talking about failed states. That is, nations where even if they have an operational airline, the authority, the national ruling authority, is so fractured that someone may have an ID card that doesn't have any basis in authentication. Someone else may have a healthcare card that is no longer appropriate to be used because the entity that issued it doesn't exist. So, and there's no national database that you can go into and check. I recently traveled to Australia, and literally prior to my arrival at the gate to take off, I filled out a visa application online, and in about 12 minutes, they were able to issue me an approval or authorization to fly. They checked a database. When I returned to San Francisco, I watched as other people were doing something very similar. They had applied at the airport in Sydney, and they got approval, and they were able to demonstrate this. These states, these nations, don't offer that. And right. The question is, since we know that, in fact, those types of deficiencies are being exploited by the very kinds of people that wish to harm us, it would be prudent to come up with some technique. People forget that in the summer of 2016, Speaker Ryan said he was going to push through a measure to freeze temporarily the refugee program and set up a process to stop temporarily from targeted nations that were at risk. Now, it was President Obama who disagreed, but it wasn't because this was some crazy idea. Mm-hmm. It was because there was a partisan disagreement.
Exactly.
A judge shouldn't take one of the partisans in a case and side with that partisan and pretend to wrap the Constitution around it.
Well, again, we find ourselves in a situation, Horace, where, and I think this is where Donald Trump gets himself in trouble, because he talks in headlines. And so everything becomes extreme vetting. This isn't extreme vetting. This is just vetting. But it doesn't sound good to just say, well, we're going to vet these people. Because most of Americans, they don't, you know, quite understand what does that mean. So now it's got to be extreme vetting, which now puts him in the arena of being extreme and over the top, when all he's doing is what any reasonable person with this responsibility would do. If somebody comes into the country, we'll want to make sure that he is who he says he is. And, oh, yeah, by the way, America's been under attack and has been declared war upon. So why would you not want to vet? Because your number one job is to secure national security for its citizens, why would you not want to do that?
So, Bill, what you just raised is a policy argument, and it's an appropriate tool to have both in the media and in Congress and in public discussions at dinner tables. What is not appropriate is for the policy argument to be the basis for the judicial decision. Even if the president said, I don't like the leaders of these countries, I am going to punish them because I don't like it and I can, that still isn't a legal basis for review. What would be a legal basis for review is let's examine the written document that implements the order and see what about that written document. And there is nothing in the executive order itself that, quote, is a Muslim ban, that is, quote, it doesn't even say extreme vetting.
Exactly.
Nothing about it is in this way offensive. It is instead a very straightforward issue in the same way that when the president, shortly before leaving office, that's Barack Obama, shortly before leaving office, changed the policy that we have with regard to Cubans, what was called the wet foot, dry foot.
Yes, exactly. Right.
That hasn't been rushed to court under some biased basis, even though someone from Cuba would be considered Hispanic, and even though Hispanics largely voted against Barack Obama, that would be those registered to vote and lawfully allowed, it didn't happen that they were able to rush into court and litigate to sue this. This shouldn't have happened here. The federal district court judge should have said, maybe I don't like it, maybe I'm offended by it. He shouldn't have said any of those things, really. But he should have upheld the policy the same way the lion's share of the other district court judges did. Only addressing the specific due process issues of what happens when you're already on the plane or you're at the airport and you relied on a State Department issued visa. That narrow question was appropriate to be decided by the district court judges. The broad question of whether it's a good policy or not, that was none of his business. And that's why a new Supreme Court justice that will agree, I'm not in the policymaking business, I'm in the what is the law business.
Exactly.
Come here if you just want an answer to what is the law. Don't come here because you couldn't persuade people outside of the courtroom to adopt your policy.
Well, speaking of which, we have Gorsuch now in the crosshairs. Horace, I mean, does anybody want to be a Supreme Court justice just to go through the, you know, the gauntlet that they have to go through in order to be confirmed?
Well, as I said before, this is going to be a very, very painful process to watch for most of the American people, painful for the families. The media is going to be exercised. We're probably going to see about $100 to $150 million spent on both sides to do this. And it is precisely because we've changed the Supreme Court from a forum to adjudicate disputes into a here is the policy that I want imposed on the rest of my fellow men and neighbors in this country, and I can't do it voluntarily, so I'll use the Supreme Court to do it. As long as we keep doing that, it is going to be critical who sits on the Supreme Court.
Exactly. You know, Horace, you really turned a lot of heads the last time we talked, I believe it was last week, and you brought up the number. I don't think people stop to consider what the cost is going to be here, and you're saying upwards of $150 million to get Judge Gorsuch confirmed.
Yeah, we're looking at territory where our new rulers sit on the Supreme Court. I need simply a majority of five, and how much effort, money, activity will I engage in to get that? That's absolutely not what our founders intended. And one day, we'll have such a nice majority on the court that people realize the way to persuade and adopt policy is to talk to people like you on your program and let the listeners vote, not have it imposed on them.
Well, I'll tell you, this is one justice that we're trying to confirm. What do you think the next round's going to be like? But that's more of a rhetorical question because we're out of time. Horace Cooper on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Horace, as always. Good to have you with us.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Something shocking just happened in a Coast Guard unit in San Diego. The old guys in the unit have turned the tables and are now destroying the young bucks in head-to-head fitness tests. How is this even possible? Turns out, the old guys in this unit have been part of a special test group for a doctor-formulated Fountain of Youth drink called Patriot Power Greens. Patriot Power Greens has been so effective for many of the older soldiers that it's made their achy joints, stiff muscles, and lack of energy a thing of the past. Previously, this drink was only available to elite military units. But for a limited time, the creator of Patriot Power Greens has set aside a small number of free samples specifically for our conservative friends. All they ask is that you chip in a few bucks to cover shipping. To claim your free samples of Patriot Power Greens, go to greens75.com. That's greens75.com. Greens75.com.
Hello, Belly Flattening Helpline.
Hi, is this the number for the free trial of that belly flattening breakthrough, Somabiotics?
It is. We're giving away free trials to anyone, male or female, who's over 18 and wants to flatten their belly fast.
I heard that Somabiotics is so effective, it can actually cleanse pounds of sludge from your belly. Is that true?
Sure is. Somabiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux, so you'll look and feel great. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day.
Wow, I'm glad I called.
If you're over 18 and want to flatten your belly fast, call now for a free trial of Somabiotics. 1-800-957-5396. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving these trials away for free. 1-800-957-5396. If lines are busy, try again. That's 1-800-957-5396.
They still exist here.
I love the way you hold me. From the side, you'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love the way you hold me. In your arms, I'll always be. You take each and every day, make it special in some way. I love you more than the words in my brain can express. I can't imagine even love you less. Lord, I love the way you hold me.
Bill Martinez, live.
Just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, over here on the Hawaiian Islands. Like my daughter, you know, there's 2-hour time difference, and it's, what would that make it, 4 to 7 in the morning on the Hawaiian Islands. So good to have you along with us. Israel Ortega is with us right now, senior writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, Latin American. He was a Capitol Hill staffer for 5 years, but he's since gone to therapy, and he says he's all ready to go. His head's all straightened out, right?
That's right, Bill. Yeah,
I'm just teasing. Come on. No, really. Hey, you know, like us, I guess we're you know, the majority, we're part of the majority of them. We're working today. There's some people that got the day off today because I guess Super Bowl Sunday is such a big thing that some businesses said, hey, just take the day off, you know. But
wow.
And I got to imagine Atlanta, the people need the day off in order to, you know, speaking of therapy, they're probably in therapy wondering, what happened?
Yeah. What a game. Good to talk to you, Bill. Thanks, as always, for the invitation.
Hey, good to have you here. I want to talk about what you identify as Trump's protectionism. You're saying it's going to cause more illegal immigration. Break that down and how you see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it just goes to the broader point, Bill, that, you know, if we really want to tackle immigration, illegal immigration, that is, we got to look at what's happening in a lot of parts of Latin America, which is that, you know, folks come leave their countries because of corruption, because of really a failed free market system. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people are leaving, you know. And for a long time, people were leaving Mexico because of that. But, you know, recently, Mexico has actually embraced a lot of the free market, has been for trade, open commerce with other countries. And that actually has had a positive impact in terms of reducing poverty rates in Mexico and creating more opportunities in Mexico. And so I'm just a little concerned, Bill, that if we start a trade war with Mexico, that could actually cause Mexico's problems to become worse than they are. And I think mm-hmm. that's the point I think that I'd like the president to just acknowledge.
Right. Well, you know, Mexico certainly, you know, it has got its issues, no doubt about it. And they've come a long way in terms of addressing, you know, the corruption. But that big 800,000-pound gorilla lies on their border, which is the drug cartels is.
Right.
And this is very dangerous. And I think this is where they need help, just like Chicago needs help, which President Trump. And we're talking about this earlier just a moment ago with Horace Cooper. And that is that sometimes, you know, Donald Trump, because he lives in the world of hyperbole and headlines, he loves these, you know, extreme kind of things and words and big, bold type and everything. And, you know, when you're making a deal and negotiating a deal, you stay in the arena of the extreme, because then when you negotiate something and it's less than the extreme, you feel like you got a deal, you know, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what happens is that, you know, it's almost like the nation needs an R2-D2. We need an interpreter. We need a Trump interpreter to kind of understand what's going on, because, you know, the country is in shock as you go from, you know, the political process. And as you know, being a staffer for 5 years, you have a language and a rhythm that goes that not only goes for the Beltway, but it goes for the people who interpret the Beltway. Now you bring an outsider in, and it's what did he say?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I mean, that's part of what we're doing here, you know, in the Beltway pundits, you know. But I think, Bill, I think the point here is, look, I don't think the president is wrong to say we've got to crack down on illegal immigration. I'm all for that. I would just like to have the president acknowledge that a lot of the undocumented folks are coming here are overstaying their visa. So a border wall, the effectiveness of a border wall is something that I'm concerned about. And then secondly, I like to see concurrently, you know, we crack down on illegal immigration, but we also come up with a way to have folks who want to come here for this country legally. That could be a guest worker program for a few years for folks, and maybe something different. But I think that's something that I think is important for us to just remember and to hopefully have as a conversation.
As you and I know, the thing, and this is what I think is being ignored in the conversation, and that is that we need to protect immigrants. You know, when they come into the country and they're undocumented, I mean, the stories, you see, we're not hearing a whole lot about the abuse that goes on. And there's abuse on all levels. You know, sadly, you've got businesses taking advantage of people, underpaying them. You have crime that takes place. And an immigrant who is here illegally is not going to pick up 911 right away.
Right.
And all this stuff comes into play. We're just not protecting, and we're exacerbating the problem of immigrants coming into this country when we keep them in the shadows, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that the operative word for me that you just said, Bill, is exacerbating. And I think that's my concern, is if we continue creating a system or having a system where we reward folks who came here the wrong way, then you're just going to encourage more of that. And I think that was the most concerning part of President Obama's immigration policy, is that, you know, you basically encourage people to come here the wrong way, dangerously. And so I think hopefully Trump will get the mechanics of this right. Let's crack down illegal immigration, but also have a way for folks to come here legally and come here through the front door instead of come in the back door, as they have been for a long time.
Well, you know, the way you speak of it and the way you and I are talking about it, to me, that this is reasonable. But you have a situation where you got a state senator in California, happen to be on the West Coast right now. I was reading a story about this one state senator, De Leon, and he says half of his family are undocumented that are here in America. And you go, whoa, come, don't.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, what
are
you doing? What are you doing to them? And this whole deal, you are a state senator and you make you know, you make this statement, but see, this is the idea. It's become so casual, and we violate the law, and it's meaningless. And so now they cry foul when somebody comes in and says, don't we have a law against this?
Yeah. No, actually, absolutely right. Actually, I've had a chance to listen to that state senator speak before, and I know his views are very, very progressive on a lot of things. But no, I mean, I think you're right. I think that's at the heart of what's going on, Bill, is the fact that we are becoming more of a lawless society. You know, we're simply not enforcing a lot of laws that are on the books, and so I'm all for again crafting changes to existing immigration law. Figuring out a way to do this the right way, but until then, we've got to enforce existing immigration laws. I mean, rule of law is the cornerstone of any society that is prosperous and fair and free, and to undermine that, I think, is very, very concerning.
Yeah, I agree with you, Iz, and I think part of the challenge that we have to face here in America is that when you've been without the rule of law for as long as we have, I mean, we got here, you know, like that frog in the boiling water. It was also gentle. And so, but the fact of the matter is that we've got to correct this problem. So the difference from where we are right now, where we need to be in promoting the rule of law, where it is truly a win-win proposition, is going to be pain. There's pain for the immigrants ahead.
Yeah.
For the citizens, for us trying to process, wait a minute, you know, are we going to tear families apart? You know, this whole situation of anchor babies, all this stuff, you know, that has been problematic, that has been created by politicians, you know, for their political interest, not for the interest of the immigrant or the citizens, clearly.
Right.
This is what makes for bad policy.
Right, absolutely. And I love to study this article that I just wrote recently, Bill, because I look at the immigration lobby and actually had a chance to interview a dreamer, and she tells me that she's a little concerned about some of the tactics that some of these immigration rights groups are using, where they're disrupting congressional hearings or getting in the face of members of Congress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what she's saying is, look, a better approach is to actually dialogue with some of these members of Congress, talk to the senators, not getting these shouting matches. And so that is a fascinating tape because I think it goes to your point about how do we ensure that we come up with a system that works for,
exactly.
for the immigrants, but also for the American people.
Well, get that to me, and we'll post it on our website as well, because it's of interest for a lot of people. We continue to have this discussion, and part of the reason that we're going round in circles to your very point and to her point is that we're not having a sit-down, reasonable conversation. We're shouting at one another. We're not communicating, and therein lies the challenge, but also the opportunity where we could settle this. Could you imagine this gets settled? I mean, both countries, everybody. I mean, we're just talking Mexico right now, but all countries could win from this. Israel Ortega.
Center. Eggs have been the cornerstone of a healthy breakfast for generations, and for good reason. Eggs are an all-natural source of high-quality protein, with one large egg containing 6 grams protein, 13 essential vitamins and minerals, all for 70 calories. February is Heart Health Month, and eggs can be a perfect addition to your heart-healthy lifestyle. A recent study from the Journal of the American College of Nutrition shows that eating one egg a day reduces the risk of stroke by 12%. Additionally, the Journal of Nutrition suggests that eating up to 3 eggs a day does not increase markers associated with heart disease risk in healthy adults. A new study from Purdue University indicates adding whole eggs to a salad increases vitamin E absorption. Why is that important? Vitamin E is important for the proper function of many organs in the body, including the heart. So next time you dress up your salad, put an egg on it. For more amazing egg facts, visit www.eggnutritioncenter.com.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Pro ProPure water filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Someone had the courage to say it.
We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We got it, we got it, we got it. Let the light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the light of the world. We got it, we got it, we got it. Let the light shine.
Bill Martinez, live.
Well, the light of bravery and liberty continues to shine out from this country, and no doubt it is an encouragement to others around the world. And, you know, for some government, that's a pain, you know, because they don't like the comparative. They really don't like what the great American experiment is producing. It challenges their sensitivities. But, hey, let's take a break here for just a moment. We've got something real special for you. Ilan Mastai is with us. Now, Ilan, you may know the name because he is, I'll tell you, he is one of the most sought-off after screenwriters. He has just had one success after another. Five films produced from his screenplays. Most recently, What If, which starred Daniel Radcliffe, Zoe Kazan, and Adam Driver. In 2013, Variety named Ilan one of its 10 screenwriters to watch. And here it is. We've got one of the screenwriters here that you can listen to as we talk about a new opportunity for him. You know, he's been known for his screenwriting, but he's going to be talking about his first novel. Ilan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. As we were talking about just a moment ago, you know, we thought we'd do something a little bit different here. This is your first novel.
Yeah, it is. You know, as you mentioned, I've been working as a screenwriter for a long time. But, you know, I mean, I think sometimes you want to challenge yourself, and sometimes you have a story to tell. And in this case, I realized that this was a story to tell as a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, the title of the book, All Are Wrong Today's... you know, and that's even might even be a bit awkward for people to say that, but there's a special meaning in the title here. What did you mean by this?
Well, so the book looks at, you know, it's sort of set in two different versions of reality. And yeah, All Are Wrong Today's. I kind of chose the title because it does sound a little odd. I mean, hopefully it gets people's attention, and it is a little, you're like, wait a minute, that's not how
that doesn't sound quite right, because it's about a guy who gets caught up in the wrong version of reality. So the book is set in the present. It's in 2016, but when it opens, it's actually in the 2016 that people in the 1950s thought we were going to have, this kind of techno-utopia full of flying cars and robot maids and moving sidewalks and hotels.
Yeah, we're the Jetsons. We're living the Jetsons, what we grew up with, huh?
Exactly, right? And that's what we all thought we were going to get, right? But here we are. It's 2017. It didn't quite turn out that way. So my character, Tom, he finds himself, he gets into a little accident with a prototype time machine and causes a disaster in 1965. And he's panicking after this mess he's caused. He, you know, jumps back to the present, to his 2016. And he finds himself in our version of the world, what we think of as the real world, but which to him seems like a terrifying dystopia where everything has gone wrong. Mm. And of course, you know, there are no flying cars, there's no teleportation, there's no robot maids. I mean, we have iPhones, but that's about as good, you know, for him, iPhones, they had iPhones in like 1972.
Right.
So he doesn't understand what's gone wrong. Of course, he's trying to get back to his version of the world, but along the way, he discovers these very unexpected versions of the people in his life, his family, this woman he has this romantic connection with, and himself. He's actually a totally different person in this world. And yes, our version of the world is messier. You know, we haven't solved all of our problems. In his version of the world, there is no war, there is no poverty, there is no illness or crime. But in our world, yeah, of course, we're still grappling with these problems. At the same time, it makes him kind of question, well, what gives his life meaning? What gives his life purpose? What is he doing here in the first place? And so I kind of wanted to ask, write a book that had, like, you know, it's got big, cool science fiction ideas, and there's lots of plot twists and sort of very big surprises and unexpected things happen. But it also asks questions of, you know, I think of myself as somebody who's fundamentally ethical. Like, what makes you happy? What gives your life meaning? You know, what's the purpose of all of this? And so, you know, hopefully with the book, you kind of have a chance to have a lot of fun and entertain people, but also, you know, by the end of the book, have them ask some questions about their own life.
Exactly. Well, nothing like time travel. Time travel seems to attract our interest. Huh? We all like to, you know, get away and maybe stay away for a moment, but somehow leaving today and going to another time and place helps bring definition and meaning to where we are when we come back, right?
That's right. Well, it's all about looking at our world with fresh eyes. You know, when you go traveling and you just, like, you're looking around, it doesn't matter if it's another country or even just another city you haven't been to before, and it's like you suddenly, like, your senses are awake, right? Mm-hmm. You're, like, looking around, you're noticing things you wouldn't otherwise notice, and that's normal, right? In our everyday lives, we have things to do, we're all busy, we're all harried, we have places to get to, we usually don't have enough time to get there. So you kind of, like, put on the blinders. You have to get through your day. You know, what the chance with the book was the chance to just kind of look around at our world where we are and kind of just think about it with fresh eyes. What would somebody from my grandfather's generation, my granddad was a huge sci-fi nut, you know, what would he think if he was transported into our world with the problems that we didn't solve, that he was sure we were going to solve, with you know, the state of the world? You know, what would he think if he was here? Mm-hmm. And so that's a chance. And, you know, time travel stories are usually stories about regret, right? We all make mistakes. We all wish we could have a second chance, but we can't, right? Time travel gives us that opportunity, but, you know, usually we realize that the past is what's holding us back, not actually propelling us forward.
Well, and the other thing you do, Ilan, is you're liberal with some comedic perspective here. You know, Tom finds himself, you know, the comparative ideal of where he is, you know, to where he finds himself now in what we would say would be modern day America, that there's some funny moments here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, when we talk about, like, the themes of the book, I get a little, you know, obviously you get a little philosophical, but no, I mean, I wanted this to be as entertaining as possible. Tom, as a narrator, he's very self-effacing. He has a lot of comic observations. I mean, this is as much, you know, when I look at the world around us, I like to, sometimes comedy is helpful for that. You know, it kind of shines a light on things. So he's an irreverent narrator. At the same time, when things happen, he does, over the course of the story, he learns to take things more seriously. He learns that there's consequences to his choices, you know. But in the beginning of the book, particularly, he has a lot of fun with things. And you know, I wanted it to be as entertaining as possible. I mean, this isn't a lecture to the, you know, it's a novel. It's supposed to be fun. And so I wanted to make it as fun as possible for the reader.
Well, it's quite the journey, and you know, the idea that you treat this in such a way to where you didn't take, you know, the human aspect out of Tom in his character here. I mean, it's you find yourself imagining that you're Tom, and you kind of go along for the ride here, and you know, look at these things, and then not only that, but it also opens the door to our own individual perceptions and what it would be like.
Yeah, well, you know, he comes from this extraordinary version of the world, but he's an ordinary guy. He's mm-hmm. not some brilliant scientist or some adventurer. You know, I wanted to write about an ordinary person in an extraordinary world who then is dropped into our, what we think of as an ordinary world, and he is extraordinary in that he has a totally different experience. But I really wanted it to be like a real person. You know, the first person I showed the book to was a friend of mine who's a psychologist, you know, because mm-hmm. I was like, you know, sure, like, yeah, there's big science fiction ideas and big plot twists, but does the character make sense? Does he feel like a real person? Mm-hmm. You know, because I like all kinds of genres of books, but I mean, you read a book because you care about the character. You know, you right. want them to become a better person. The person, you know, when the person Tom is in the beginning of the book and at the end of the book, he goes through tremendous changes. As much as there's all these big plot twists, it's also his journey. You know, I sort of say jokingly, like, it's a coming of age story, except the guy's 32 years old. Right. I think we all know people in our lives who maybe don't grow up until their 30s. Well, he's kind of like that. But I think part of the fun of the book is watching him grow as a person, learn to take responsibility for his mistakes, and you know, I mean, for lack of a better word, mature.
And when you find yourself in an alternate universe, as he did, knowing what he knows based on the other universe, and he comes to this one and sees the trajectory of it, and of course you're talking a male figure, so instantly our DNA says we could fix something here, right?
Sure. Well, of course, you know, yeah, you talk about DNA. Yeah, we're fixers. I mean, that's, you know, that's also humans. I think we toggle between our optimism and our pessimism, you know. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, you know, my grandfather had this extensive collection of old 40s and 50s and 60s sci-fi. He, you know, he was a chemist by trade. He was from New York City. And
He didn't blow up any rooms or anything like that, did he?
No, he didn't. His, you know, he developed actually a form of synthesizing vitamins in Chicago in the 40s, which proved really important for the war effort. So he wasn't drafted to go to war because his work was considered crucial because they needed to get vitamins to the front, right,
exactly.
for
right.
the troops because they couldn't get them healthy, balanced meals all the time. So his work was considered crucial.
Wow.
So he continued to do that work through the war. But he really believed in science's ability to solve problems, you know, but he didn't, but you know, what I got from him, it wasn't just the sort of like fascination with the sort of like utopian future. He also felt, you know, that a lot of, as much as he loved science fiction, he's like, they don't actually take their time to get to know the science. A lot of these writers, they just kind of like have an idea and they run with it. But if you actually spend your time getting to know the science, now this isn't a book, like I'm not like I'm going to subject the reader to like pages and pages of scientific discourse
right.
or something like that. But I like to make sure that it's as accurate as possible. When I write about time travel and alternate realities, I do the research because I don't necessarily force the reader, like the reader doesn't have to wade through all of that. But for me, I like to know that it's grounded in that because I think it's more interesting. You know?
Exactly.
I just think it just makes the story more interesting. And you discover all the stuff that you didn't know, which I think makes the story richer.
Well, congratulations all on the book, All Are Wrong Today's, and available at all the usual places, I take it.
Oh, yeah, any bookstore or online venue, however you, whether you like to read your book on paper or on a screen, there's a way you can get it.
And, of course, it'll be coming to a big screen not too far down the road, won't it?
Yeah, I'm working on the screenplay right now.
Well, congratulations, Ilan Mustai. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live a couple minutes before the top of the hour. Stay right where you are. We've got more coming up right after this.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.